The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. The Lord knows those who take refuge in the stronghold. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of the one who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. Lord, we come before you joyful and sorrowful, in quietness and filled with the clamor of the world. Still us. Draw us into the knowledge of your presence. Prepare us for worship. Amen.
Let us share this psalm responsively. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. For who in the skies above can compare to the Lord? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You rule over the surging sea. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You created the north and the south. Your arm is endued with power. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you.
Our call to worship was taken from one of the readings of the Tfar today. The psalm which we have just shared was also one of the readings. And now we turn to the Gospel, the 13th chapter of Mark. And I'm going to add a few verses to that at the end. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left there one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign when these things are all to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "Take heed that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. This is but the beginning of the sufferings." If I may interpret that beginning of sufferings at this point and say, what the Lord is saying to those disciples is, what you are witnessing is the beginning of the birth of the kingdom. Then skip down to verse 32, if you will, please. "But of that day, or of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning, any one of the four watches, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. I was hoping I'd have about 5 minutes for what I'm going to say to you this morning. Then I would just say, watch, and sit down and let you deal with that. Unfortunately or fortunately, there's longer. I said to myself, now I'm going to take the scripture that is for the day, and I'm going to labor with it until some sort of message comes. About halfway through that process, I started to call Don Cook. Every time I turned to some helpful volume or supposedly helpful volume to try to understand this passage which we have shared together, and in particular this chapter from which we need to draw our lesson, our gospel word for today, somewhere in the writing they would say this is one of the most difficult chapters in the New Testament. And so here I am, not a scholar, but a reader, and there sits Don Cook just smiling just as broadly as he can. When I got to the last part of it, there began to dawn some light for me and a handle which I could grasp. I know about being on watch. It occurred to me that what the Lord is doing, or what Mark is doing with the collection of sayings which he has been caused to remember, spoken by the Lord to those disciples, is not trying to teach them or give them information about the future, but to prepare them for the future by providing them with an attitude which will see them through it. It also occurred to me that what we are witnessing here is the changing of the watch, the changing of the guard, the passing of the responsibility from one person to the next. Mark writes like a man in a hurry when I read him, and I'm grateful for that. Beautifully done in the opening chapters, he gives us a quick summary of what Jesus is about. And after the baptism, he said, he came into Galilee preaching that the time, preaching the gospel of God. And the content of his preaching was, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And then the challenge to repent and believe in that good news. And immediately following that preaching, he began to call unto himself those disciples. Dr. Cook has beautifully laid that out for us. The calling of the disciples was for a particular purpose, in order that he may prepare them for the mission and the ministry which would be left in their care and in their keeping after he was gone. And this particular collection of sayings and this information now is provided just before the beginning of the Passion narrative, which is so forcefully presented by the writer of Mark. So now he's getting them ready. I know about being on watch because I spent some time in the Navy. The ship to which I was assigned was given a mission. We were supposed to seek and destroy submarines. After I stayed on that ship for a while, I switched over to submarines. Then I found out that the people in the submarines were no more apt at what they were doing than the people who were on top, and that made me even more nervous. But we had a mission. And in order to pursue our mission, someone had to be on watch whenever the ship was at sea. They had their orders. They had their responsibility. Then the time would come when their watch was over and someone else would have to take the responsibility for that watch. As a midshipman joining the Navy, one of the first things they taught me was how to stand watch. Do you know that it is possible to be wide awake, sitting down, and asleep, standing up? As a matter of fact, I knew one fellow who learned how to sleep standing up with his eyes open. The message of Jesus to those disciples was, stay awake, because you're on watch. Sometimes the circumstance is not very dangerous or very challenging. And so it may not be so important that those who have been given the watch stay awake. And when they are found asleep, perhaps the penalty will not be so severe. In wartime, it is very severe. It is a capital offense to go to sleep on watch. We found a fellow on watch once, tied his shoelaces together, and yelled, "Look out." I understand from some of the things that I've read that those who were on watch in the day when Jesus gave this parable to his disciples, if they were found asleep, they were beaten, or their clothes were set on fire. This is a changing of the watch. Stay awake, he said to those disciples. Because unless you do, the world may pass you by. When they left the temple precincts where he had been teaching to all of those who would hear, one of the disciples looked at those marvelous, magnificent stones out of which Herod's temple was at the time being constructed and thought to himself, "My, those things will last forever." Our word is, until the Lord comes. Some of them were 40 feet long and 12 feet wide and 18 feet high, solid stones. And I would imagine, he said, "Look at that. Nothing in the world will be able to throw that down." And Jesus said to him, "The day is coming when not one of these stones will be piled on top of another." I'm not sure where he was talking about the destruction of that temple or whether he had that in mind, but what I am certain about is that he wanted that disciple who needed to be awake to understand that things change. The world that we saw yesterday is not permanent. The world that we see today is not permanent. The world which comes tomorrow will not be permanent. And so those who have been given the watch and the responsibility to preach the gospel of God to the ends of the earth, that's what the responsibility is, have to stay awake, or the world will pass us by. His word to those disciples concerning their attitude towards their responsibility was, stay awake, or you're going to be led astray. Always, that's a danger for God's people. There'll be those who'll come and present to us a very charming gospel. There'll be individuals who'll be charismatic and who'll stand before us and say, "Come on, I know what is right here. Follow me. So Jesus is saying, stay awake. Now, I'm going to tell you beforehand that this is going to happen. Stay awake. There will be those who will lead you astray. Stay awake, was his message to these disciples, or you're going to become discouraged when the hard times come. And they are coming. You see, what the situation is here is that we have been given a real task in a real world. And in the real world, things change. And in the real world, there are those who rise up to call to themselves persons whom they are able and willing to lead astray. And in the real world, there's going to be war, and there's going to be rumor of war, and there'll be famine. But do not be distracted from the mission of your watch, which is to preach the gospel of God until it reaches the end of the world. Be awake, or you'll become discouraged when the hard times come. Be awake, because the Master is coming. That word is meant to encourage. Of course, it ought to say to us, every day our task needs to be completed, because we don't know when that's going to happen. It all has never ceased to amaze me that we spend countless hours trying to set a timetable when the Lord himself confessed time after time after time that he didn't know, only God, not the angels, not the Son, or anybody else, but you need to pay attention to the responsibilities of your watch, which are to preach the gospel until it fills the world. And don't be discouraged, because the Master is coming. I've collected a few things that have made me think that we just may be sleeping. In a few years, Paris will be the capital of Islam, just as Baghdad and Cairo were in other eras. Those are the words from the director of the Institute of Islamic Culture in Paris, boasting that the worldwide spread of Islam will soon overtake the West. There are now over 40 mosques in the city of London. Charles Colston has written, "We live in a new dark age. Having elevated the individuals as the measure of all things, modern men and women are guided solely by their own dark passions. They have nothing above themselves to respect or to obey, no principles to live or die for. Personal advancement, personal feeling, and personal autonomy are the only shrines at which they worship." Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his commencement address to Harvard University on June the 8th, 1978, said, "The Western way of life is less and less likely to become the leading model. There are telltale symptoms by which history gives warning to a threatened or perishing society. Such are, for instance, a decline in the arts or a lack of great statesmen. Indeed, sometimes the warnings are quite explicit and concrete. The center of your democracy, of your culture, is left without electric power for a few hours only. And all of a sudden, crowds of American citizens start looting and creating havoc. The smooth surface film must be very thin, then. The social system quite unstable and unhealthy, but the fight for our planet, physical and spiritual, a fight of cosmic proportions, is not a vague matter of the future. It has already started. The forces of evil have begun their decisive offensive. You can feel their pressure, and yet your screens and publications are full of prescribed smiles and raised glasses. What is all the joy about?" When we changed the watch, there was a formal ceremony. After the person who had the watch had briefed us completely in order that we may be prepared for what was coming up during our watch, which is exactly what Jesus was doing with his disciples. And we were satisfied that we understood what our responsibility would be and what we would have to face. We would salute and say, "I relieve you, sir." And he would salute and say, "You have the watch. You have the watch." Do you smell anything burning? Let's stand and sing this closing hymn. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.